Hello and thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. I'd like to take you on a very personal guided tour of this church where Pope Benedict goes on Wednesday with Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis. A tour that deserves a hushed voice. Let's step back then to the 5th century, which is the date this church goes back to.
In fact, it's probably the most intact Paleo-Christian church in Rome. Inasmuch as others have been added to, things have been changed, or maybe they've been burnt down, restructured inside. Here, no.
It's almost bare, isn't it, apart from the columns and the walls. I mean, we're so used to the Baroque churches in Rome that this is kind of like a shock.
Yes, in fact, but it also points to the essential simplicity and the sense of the sacred of the early Christians, who didn't look for pomp and circumstance, but at the same time aimed at creating a building which was as grandiose as possible to give honour to God and to express in a temporal sense something beyond the temporal. So you can see the space in a Paleo-Christian basilica has to do with movement. You have to walk around. In those days, there were no seats in churches. So everything has to do with the optical effect. The moment you enter the main door, you look up and your eye and all energy that you have in your body and in your spirit moves completely. You're literally pulled forward towards the altar. And this is helped by the fact that on each side you have these magnificent Corinthian columns, almost perfect, which came from a temple in this area. And they managed to be able to match them all so well. It's incredible the way they did this. You get the feeling of the sense of building upwards. Now you notice here there's no transept in the sense that we know it. It's not a Latin cross church. Here you have the pillars going right smack up to the apse. So you get this feeling that you're pulled right into the altar. And then you have this explosion of colour. You have every window in the place just bouncing colour off everything inside, like polished stone on the floor, pieces of inlaid marble, the mosaics that remain and those that would have been here in the past.
The element of light is an important one in early architecture in particular. If you read any guidebook, they'll write about this church and say there's a golden light.
And we're here in the morning. Imagine at midday when this golden light is at its maximum. And the selenite windows tend to push in a strong way, like rays of light into the church, but at the same time tempering these rays of light, not to the point where it becomes so stark that you get dazzled. No, when the light comes in, it moves all around the church, bouncing off the mosaics, bouncing off the floor. But the whole idea is that you go forward enveloped in this light, so it's like a luminous pathway going right up the church towards the apse, towards God.
Breda, you say that we're projected towards the altar, yet a few metres before you get to the altar, there's an enclosed space, a sort of marble wall, as it were, with a little gate. Why is that?
Well, this is the area of the shola, as people call it, or scola. It's the area which enclosed whoever was celebrating or praying. And this, obviously, to maintain the sacrality of the sacrifice that's going on at the altar. The Eucharist has to be, obviously, kept in its dignified space with all the ritual related to it. And in this area, priests, bishop, etc., would sit and pray and sing. I think of St. Dominic. He used to prostrate himself here. He had 9 ways of praying which relate to the body for himself and everybody else in the world, outside the brethren, obviously. Think about the quantity of prayer said in there.
My thanks there go to Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, for taking us on a tour I suggest anyone who visits Rome should go on. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.